Hello, I'm Keith Cray, Audio Communications Specialist with the Legislative Research Commission. During the 2025 regular session, the General Assembly directed staff of the LRC to study access to sexual assault nurse examiners, called SANEs for short, within the emergency care setting. This report was completed and is titled Access to Sexual Assault Nurse Examiners in Kentucky. It is research report number 501. Here to discuss this report is Dr. Bart Liguori, Assistant Director for Research here at LRC. Bart, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Keith.
Bart, straight off, what are some of the key takeaways from this report that you want people to know?
First off, access to sexual assault nurse examiners, or SANEs, they are restricted in certain areas. So, for example, there are no SANE-ready hospitals. SANE-ready hospitals, which are hospitals that have a SANE on call 24 hours each day, they aren't available west of Owensboro. There are pockets of the Commonwealth where there is very little access to SANE. So western Kentucky, eastern Kentucky, south central Kentucky, and even some parts of northern Kentucky, like Carroll and Trimble County, they don't even border a county with a SANE-ready hospital. So that would be one takeaway. Also, another takeaway would be that it is very difficult to recruit SANEs. There are a lot of issues that are facing. First off, this is a very high-pressure environment. There's a lot of burnout within these environments. These SANEs, they have their regular nursing job, which is in and of itself stressful, then to throw this other duty onto them. There's a lot that goes into that. So there are a lot of factors that go into becoming a SANE, which, again, there are relatively few SANEs, and they're located in certain parts of the Commonwealth. So those are the big takeaways. And also, that procedure has to be followed. If procedures aren't followed properly, so for example, there are instances where survivors of sexual assault, that they go to a hospital that might not be a SANE-ready hospital, and they might be turned away, even though that is against state and federal law. And because of that, the evidence is lost. Sometimes these individuals who have gone through this traumatic event might wind up not seeking the help that they need. So if these procedures aren't followed, these individuals might be re-traumatized. They might not get the care they need. And there's a lot that can go on in those situations.
What were some of the things that you were asked to study about this examination?
The first thing that we were asked was to examine the geography of where SANEs were. So both SANE AAs, which we can talk about later on, and PAs, which again we'll talk about later on, where they were located, where the SANE-ready hospitals are in Kentucky, and if people had geographic access to those hospitals. Also, as I mentioned before, the procedures that, whether or not procedures are followed, whether or not people are being turned away when they're asking for a safe at a hospital. Also, whether or not a rape crisis center, or RCC, is going to be contacted in conjunction with every SAFE.
Well, who regulates the SANE program in Kentucky?
Yep, the SANE program in Kentucky is regulated by the Kentucky Board of Nursing. They issue a SANE credential. There are two SANE credentials, the SANE AA, which is for adults and adolescents who have reached the normal onset of puberty, and then there's the SANE PA credential, which is for pediatrics and pediatric patients who have not yet reached the onset of puberty and those under 18. These credentials are, you have to take a course for them. You have to get some didactic coursework, you have to get some field work as well, and you have to do some observations in your training to become a SANE. They're aligned with national guidelines from the IAFN, or the International Association of Forensic Nurses, which also offers a national credential, which isn't necessary to practice as a SANE in Kentucky.
What's the difference between a national and state certification for a SANE?
The national certification, it's really just a credential that's going to, not a credential, it's going to be a certification that is recognized nationwide, as compared to the Kentucky certification, which has a lot of Kentucky-specific aspects to it. So, for example, you have to meet with Commonwealth's attorneys, you have to learn the procedures of Kentucky courtrooms, and you have to be trained on the Kentucky sexual assault forensic exam kit that's issued by KSP.
Let's talk a little bit about the geographic distribution of SANEs in Kentucky. That seems to be pretty sparse.
It is. There are a lot of counties with three or fewer. There are actually 30 counties that don't have any SANEs that are living there. That SANE AAs or PAs, and again, a nurse can have both credentials, just remember that as well. So there are 30 counties without a SANE living in them, and more than half of them are located in about 12 counties, with a lot in Jefferson County, Fayette County, and in Boone County.
You touched on this earlier, but what's the difference between a SANE AA and a SANE PA?
In terms of geographic distribution,
sure.
I would say with SANE AAs, they are more geographically dispersed. However, SANE PAs are really concentrated between Lexington, Louisville, and Northern Kentucky. There are actually 96 counties that don't have a SANE PA living there.
It seems to me that because they're so sparse and we have a limited number of SANEs, what's some of the barriers for a nurse to become a SANE?
First one I would say would be geography. In terms, as I mentioned before, we sent out a survey to all Kentucky hospitals, the acute care hospitals in Kentucky. We sent it out to 99 of them. And one of the things that they mentioned was geography. There was no training available in Eastern Kentucky. So that's the first thing. There are only 8 places that are certified to train SANEs, and 6 of them are for SANE AAs, and 2 of them are for SANE PAs. While some of them, you know, they do try to go out to different hospitals, it is sometimes very difficult for people to get the training. And also in terms of geography, there are some counties where, you know, you really can't get that training. And then another thing that might happen in terms of difficulty would be the training itself. You know, the nurse has to take their own time off. Mm-hmm. It might come out of pocket, some of the cost for the training, and it might be difficult for them to get this training to become a SANE. And even if they do get reimbursed, they're going to be working in hospitals where it's very difficult for them to get a week off. It's going to be a reimbursement for travel, lodging, food, and the time that they're missing from the hospital.
In the report, did you have any recommendations to address those issues?
Yeah, there are 3 recommendations that we had. First one is that hospitals should consider developing monetary incentives and specialized job codes to incentivize more nurses to become SANEs. That KBN should consider working with SANE training programs to make them more accessible to potential candidates. That hospitals should work with the Kentucky Board of Nursing to offer more training options for these SANE AAs and PAs. And finally, that CHFS and the Sexual Assault Response Team Advisory Committee should consider developing a statewide SANE coordinator position, which would coordinate the efforts of different state agencies and hospitals in terms of increasing SANE access.
In regards to SANE, what is a SANE-ready hospital?
A SANE-ready hospital is simply a hospital that has a SANE available 24 hours each day.
And how many SANE hospitals are there?
There are 25 SANE-ready hospitals as of October 2025.
Has the number of SANE hospitals changed over time?
It has. When the program was first started in 2017, there were only 7 SANE-ready hospitals, and that's increased to 25 recently. And there have been some hospitals that have been added to the list. There have also been hospitals that have gone off the list. So, but there has been a big increase over the last few years.
Besides location, what are some of the problems with accessing a SANE hospital? Is it geographical mostly?
A lot of it is geographic. You know, that's one case. You know, sometimes people, especially when they get that training, they might want to go to a bigger city where they might get paid more or other things. Other issues other than that might be the availability of SANEs. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in far western Kentucky, you might not have SANEs available to draw from, or you might not be able to train them. Other situations that were mentioned was the financial costs. As I mentioned before, hospitals need to, you know, even if they do pay for the training and all that stuff, it's going to be a week off for these nurses to get their training, mm-hmm. and then they're going to have to schedule more nurses during that time, or other nurses to fill in that backlog. And the amount, one of the things that I heard on the survey was the amount that they receive from the Crime Victims Compensation Fund does not reimburse them enough for the cost of the safes. So those are all issues that they have there.
We've been talking about SANEs. What is a safe, and what's the purpose of a safe?
A safe is a sexual assault forensic exam. The purpose of a safe is to collect forensic evidence under the law and to make sure that it's done properly. Also with every safe, one part of the procedure is that an RCC or a rape crisis center has to be contacted and that they follow the correct procedures in conducting that.
Well, who conducts those safes?
A medical professional. It does not have to be a SANE that conducts a safe. Actually, it is against federal and state law for patients to be turned away for a safe if they present themselves at an emergency department.
Mm-hmm. Are there any time constraints on a safe?
Generally, it is accepted practice to get the safe done within 96 hours of the incident. However, you know, time is of the essence. You know, the more closely you are to the to the alleged assault, that is the best time to get that safe completed. Also, other things, you know, if you wind up outside of that window, you should still speak to a go to the hospital, try to present your, you know, try to let them know, or go to a rape crisis center where you can get more information and they can help you out through the process.
Here's a potential problem. If a hospital is not SANE ready, can they transfer survivors of sexual assault to another hospital?
They cannot. It's just simply against the law. They can't do it. However, what we did see is that it happens a lot. On our survey, we saw several instances of it happening. You know, it could be a training issue. Sometimes hospitals think that, you know, since they don't have a SANE available or they're not SANE ready, that they could send them to another hospital which does have a SANE where they feel they're doing what's in the best interest of the patient. But that's not going to be the case because, as I mentioned before, time is of the essence. And sometimes if you go to a hospital, that's a really brave and courageous act to go to get that safe done. Then you're told to go somewhere else. You might not want to go go do that again and get re-traumatized for that.
As far as forensics examinations, how many were logged? Let's talk numbers. How many were logged with the Kentucky State Police kit tracking portal?
About 4,500 safe kits were tracked in the Kentucky State Police tracking portal from 2019 to 2024, with 2020 being the most. There were around 650 in that year, to 2024 being the most, about 950 in that year.
We talked a little bit about RCCs, or rape crisis centers. What are the roles for a rape crisis center and a children's advocacy center in SAFES?
Yep. Rape crisis centers, they have to be contacted with every forensic exam. They're there to support the survivor of sexual assault. They're there to give them the support they need, make sure that procedure is followed, all of these things. And this is all done at the with the consent of the patient to make sure that the RCC or the rape crisis advocate is there to help the patient through that process and to make sure they get the aftercare and help them with everything from, you know, explaining to them what's going on throughout the safe to making sure that when they're discharged that they get the proper aftercare, that also they could help them out sometimes making sure that they're not charged for these for the forensic exams, because again, those are 100% free to the patient because it's paid for through the Crime Victim Compensation Fund. Mm-hmm. And with Children's Advocacy Center, very similar things. They're there to advocate for children, and they're there to help children and their parents navigate this very traumatic time.
In these traumatic moments, it seems that proper procedure is extremely important. What are some of the procedures that need to be followed conducting a SAFE?
As we mentioned before, you know, you cannot be turned away from a hospital if you are asking for a SAFE and if you're asking to be seen for a sexual assault. That's number one. If that happens, as I mentioned earlier, time is lost, which is very bad. Also, the likelihood that you can go to another hospital decreases. Maybe a rape crisis center isn't called, and you know, maybe the victim might feel unsupported. You know, maybe there's going to be an individual who's not trained as they should. They might be doing the exam, and that might re-traumatize the patient, or maybe the collection of the forensic evidence is not done properly, or the chain of custody is not maintained throughout.
Sounds like a lot of things can go wrong.
A lot of things go wrong, and actually in the report we detail 9 different points from admittance to discharge for these patients. where things can go wrong, and what are the right steps to follow.
This is a very in-depth research report.
Yes.
You didn't do this alone. Do you want to thank some people?
Yeah. First off, I'd like to thank staff from LRC Judiciary staff, Josh Yellowpack and Ralph Banchstubbs, co-authors of this report in particular. Also, the members of the SART AC, the Sexual Assault Response Team Advisory Committee, especially those from KSAP, the Kentucky Board of Nursing, the Kentucky Hospital Association, the Kentucky State Police. They were all very helpful in doing this report, and I really appreciate all of their help.
You've been listening to Access to Sexual Assault Nurse Examiners in Kentucky. This is research report number 501. Where can members find this report?
Members can find this report on the LRC webpage if they go to LRC Publications. Under research reports, it's research report 501. They could also email LRC Publications at kylegislature.gov, and they can get a print copy of the report.
Bart, thank you very much for this report.
Thank you very much, Keith. I appreciate being here.